Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Happy Friday. Welcome into the show. I'm Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. He will be back on Monday. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Reach us the same way you always do, 1-800-636-8686. Rome at Habitake.com. Jim, of course, on Twitter, at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. You can hit me up, SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Phone line again, 1-800-636-8686. Thrilled to be here. Love filling in for Jim. Absolute honor. Thanks for listening. Great, great show planned for you. We'll get with Therese Paylor, which is fortuitous timing. Therese now national NFL writer and columnist for Yahoo Sports, but made his bones, made his mark in the NFL covering and dominating the beat of the Kansas City Chiefs for the Kansas City Star. We will get an insider's perspective on what Andy Reid was thinking, on the Mahomes injury, and on what we should expect as we await the MRI results that will tell us whether or not Mahomes will miss more than the 3 weeks we know he's already out with that dislocated knee. Just a moment we will get into, and I will get after Andy Reid, speaking of that Chiefs story. Rob Dibble's going to be on the show in an hour, former NLCS MVP, former closer. We'll talk some baseball. The Yankees are in a serious hole and some very talented starting pitchers as hurdles in front of them. We'll get Dibble's perspective on that and what the Nationals are doing and how to keep themselves sharp and in rhythm as they wait for one of those two teams. Warren Moon will be on the show about an hour and a half from now. And we'll have Rod Woodson as well. A couple hours from now, I want to get into LeBron James, China, and the remarkable amount of hypocrisy that is emanating from this entire story. People that cover the NBA for a living, people going after LeBron, and certainly, absolutely, LeBron James himself. We'll do that 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific time out here on the West Coast to close out the show. And if there's time, might go after John Elway a little bit, which is too bad because I like John. Really charming, great guy. So is my neighbor. Neither of them should be running the Denver Broncos. But the big story for the moment right now today, and let me start with this before I go in on Andy Reid here. I love the Kansas City Chiefs. Not a fan. Grew up as a Bears fan. But you know how life is. You move around into my business. Earlier a sports newspaper guy, now radio and TV. Bill Ryder here filling in for Jim. You get attached to certain communities. You get attached to certain fan bases. And certain organizations. And I've covered organizations that I did not like after my time being around them. And to be fair, they didn't always like me in return. Not so with the Chiefs. Worked at the Kansas City Star for a long time. Spent a lot of time writing about the Chiefs. Got to know a lot of people in that organization on some in-depth reporting projects, including the owner, Clark Hunt. My two children were born in KC. I love Kansas City. I'm a fan of the organization. I'm a fan of Patrick Mahomes and everything he represents. And beyond that, I want Andy Reid to get that elusive Super Bowl. I need it. I want it. He deserves it. The guy is a mastermind and a genius when it comes to offense. And unlike some other offensive geniuses back in the day, or even maybe today in a Sean McVay, Andy Reid's been able to do the hardest thing there is outside of win the big games, and that's evolve, not let his ego get in the way. Which is why it kills me that the genius in Andy Reid, who always waits until the postseason to utterly and totally annihilate his own Super Bowl chances, tried to do that in week 7. I won't call it a meaningless game, but a game in Denver where you've got to learn not to push the panic button if that button endangers Patrick Mahomes. Here's the reality. Here's the fact. What happened to Mahomes isn't a freak injury, as Andy Reid would have you believe. And we'll hear from the Chiefs head coach in a moment. We knew Mahomes was hobbled. We saw a different Patrick Mahomes the last 2 weeks. I won't throw all the stats at you, but Mahomes, at the start of the year, was completing 83% of his passes. That was down to 56% the last couple weeks. Why? The ankle wasn't right. Couldn't plant that foot. Couldn't step into his throws. Was still gutting his way to wins for his teams in the last couple weeks, at least trying to keep it close as that losing streak hit too. So it's 3rd and 1. About 10 minutes and change left in the second quarter. You're playing a Denver team that I know you don't want to lose to, but the last thing on earth you can do, if you're Andy Reid or Eric Bieniemy or anyone with influence in that offense, is put your quarterback in danger. A report came out before the game from NFL Network that the Mahomes injury is more severe than we thought. that there was more concern in that Chiefs organization for what Patrick Mahomes is going through. That means you protect the golden goose. And this is where Andy Reid's ego did get in the way. I understand that Andy Reid created in his own mind's eye, maybe in reality, Mahomes. I get it. Moved up to draft him, recognized the excellence, and took all that talent we saw from Mahomes in college and turned it into the literally maybe the greatest start to an NFL quarterbacking career in the history of the game. But because that's who Mahomes became under Andy Reid's tutelage, the reality shifted. It has gone in a short time from Andy Reid, the creator of Patrick Mahomes, to Patrick Mahomes, the guy that can finally create Andy Reid as the person he should be, a champion. You don't endanger Patrick Mahomes. You make sure he's healthy. That is the number one priority if you're Andy Reid. You win a Super Bowl, period, full stop, end of sentence. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's next year, maybe it's 3 years from now. That's how remarkable Patrick Mahomes is. And by the way, that defense that Spags runs is so complicated and so nuanced. Over the course, that new defensive coordinator for Kansas City, over the course of his career, it's taken teams a while to kind of figure out the D. The D was going to get there. And instead, Andy Reid panicked. Third and one, you run the ball up the middle. Fourth and one, and this is where the condemnation from Andy Reid has to come down. You're going to quarterback sneak with your hobbled QB, knowing that you're one freak play away, as Andy Reid did put it, from an injury? In professional sports, at this level, as athletes get bigger and stronger and faster, and this isn't me speculating, I've had GMs and coaches in the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL tell me this. You have a cascading effect of what can happen physically to a human being. I'll take one example only. Kevin Durant had a calf injury. Whether you believe that or not, that's what they told us. They rush him out there too soon. It becomes an Achilles injury. Kevin Durant's no longer a Golden State Warrior. They're connected. Andy Reid, pay attention. Pay attention to your own failures in the postseason. This is a guy who is 1-5 in conference championships. He has a losing record in the playoffs. You are going to put everything on the line. You're going to risk Patrick Mahomes on a quarterback sneak against that defense when his ankle is already injured because you're worried about losing to a Broncos team that isn't remotely in your class? Andy Reid screwed up yesterday. It's not the freak nature of it. It's not a healthy Mahomes who tried to make a football play and got injured. Andy Reid panicked in week 7 in the first half of an NFL game that in the long run doesn't matter. Look, you're coaching for your job. Your team is 2-4 and you're on the hot seat. I don't think it's right to endanger the future of your organization, but that's what human beings are going to do. Andy Reid has the safest job in the NFL outside of Bill Belichick. Maybe safer. You got to be operating on a 3-5-10-year timeline horizon. And I don't have to speculate about whether or not Andy Reid called that play for Mahomes or Mahomes decided just to do it himself, because Andy Reid went to the microphone afterwards and tried to defend sending the most important player that Andy Reid has ever coached into harm's way.
No, look, I mean, not too many people get hurt on a sneak, and so it's a freak thing, and, it happens. So, I was proud of our guys stepping up, and, they didn't let down, you've seen that over the years. You've seen teams that let themselves down after one of your best players or the best player gets hurt, in particular the quarterback. And I was proud that our guys just stepped up and kept battling and really everybody upped their game, I thought.
Andy, what I've seen over the years is you letting your own teams down. That's just a fact. And again, this doesn't come from a place of hate. I like Andy Reid as a human being. I love him as a coach. And I'm rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. I want that team to be successful. You heard Andy Reid say, "It's not very often a quarterback gets hurt on a QB sneak." Cool. Nice share. Can I share something with you? Great. I'm going to do it because I'm filming for Jim Rome here, and I guess I got the opportunity. You know what you don't see very often either? A head coach put the most important player on his team on the field when he's clearly injured and then decide a quarterback sneak is the right move. Hand the ball off. Throw the ball twice. Kick a field goal. Live to fight another day. And the other thing that's infuriating about this for me, and if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm blaming Andy Reid. It can be both. Andy Reid is the guy that created Patrick Mahomes into this remarkable, remarkable talent. The culture that Reid created, the offensive acumen he brings to the table, having Alex Smith as a guy that Mahomes could study under for a year, recognizing Mahomes' talent, going up and get him, you get credit for all of it. None of it matters if you don't win a Super Bowl. And now you've got a Chiefs team that at a minimum, with this dislocated knee, is going to miss Mahomes for 3 weeks. We're going to find out today, or at least the Chiefs will, I assume they'll let us know, whether an MRI shows ligament damage and maybe more time. In the interim, that 5-2 Chiefs team, that critical win that had to happen over Denver, and by the way, who are you afraid of in the AFC West that you're going to throw Mahomes in harm's way? The Raiders? Look, Raiders fans, you may be right, I may be wrong. Happens a lot. I ain't buying that yet, regardless of what happened in London against the Bears. The Broncos? The Broncos just lost to a Chiefs team that had Matt Moore for the majority of the game. I think the Broncos' threat level is not that significant. The Chargers, maybe every year it feels like they start 2-4, 3-6, and then win a bunch of games. But Rivers looks like a mess. That was a panic move. And now it's time to panic. Chiefs have the Packers coming up. Good luck. Chiefs have the Vikings coming up without Mahomes. Good luck. Chiefs played a Titans team. Don't let the record fool you. That is a really good secondary. And there is no run game for the Kansas City Chiefs to speak of. I don't have it in front of me because it's been a busy day, but I think LeSean McCoy is 86. I'm not sure what his age is exactly, but that's certainly what it's looked like. First octogenarian running back. Andy Reid pulled an Andy Reid, which I kind of expected at some point, in the playoffs or an AFC Championship game or a Super Bowl, in week 7 of a game that in the long run doesn't matter. I hope Mahomes is okay. I hope the MRI comes back clean and he heals and he's good and in 3 or 4 weeks he's back out there doing his thing. But the real takeaway isn't a freak accident injury. It isn't bad luck. It's that the head coach in Kansas City, yet again, couldn't just take a 5-second hard pause, elevate himself more than 2 feet above his situation, see the landscape and say to himself, you know what? Maybe I'll just play a little cool with Mahomes since I played him on a Thursday night game on short rest and get him the 10 days rest after this, win or lose, and we'll be cool. Andy Reid, you screwed this thing up, and you should take the blame. Please stop going to the microphone talking about this is what always happens. It just happens sometimes. It's a freak accident. No, no. The only freakish thing about this is that you put Patrick Mahomes in harm's way. I remember when I saw it. I was watching it last night doing my own show here on CBS Sports Radio from 6 to 10 Eastern at night, right at the news, the name of the show. And before I saw Mahomes not get up, I saw Mahomes sneak, and I thought, what is he doing? And now we know. Endangering everything that makes Kansas City great. No Kareem Hunt, no problem. No Tyreek Hill to start this season, 3-0. No defense, don't worry about it. No offensive line, I'll do some figure eights and throw the ball across my body 40 yards down the field into some window that's impossible. No, the only thing that has felled Patrick Mahomes has been injury, and now Andy Reid not understanding and respecting the jeopardy that placed Andy Reid and his football team in. What an absolute blunder. All right, give us a call. Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim, 1-800-636-8686, 1-800-636-8686. You can yell at me on Twitter or say nice things, whatever you want. Sports Ryder, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. We'll keep with this, and I want to get into just a reminder, Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, RG3 back in the day, Lamar Jackson to be determined. The fine line between greatness at a quarterback's promise, and what comes to fruition is often these moments where when you look back, you say, why didn't you take more care of these guys?
Are you craving some protein after a good workout? Do not make a shake. Do not eat a bar. Grab a bag of beef jerky from Old Trapper. Old Trapper beef jerky is tasty. It's tender. It's made with real strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a wood fire. And it goes wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. Clones, if you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show. Happy Friday. Thank you for watching on CBS Sports Network, listening on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Bill Ryder. I'm filling in. We got a bunch of calls. We're going to try to get to as many as we can. So if you want to weigh in, we got you. 1-800-636-8686. I don't enjoy unloading accurately on people that I like and that I root for, which I just did with Andy Reid. People I don't like, organizations that I'm not a fan of, human beings who I think are despicable that happen to play sports that I've interacted with, cool, that feels good. Andy Reid thing doesn't feel good. It just feels accurate. Don't endanger your golden goose. And a bunch of you want to weigh in. Let's do it. Let's get to it. Before in about 20 minutes, we get to Trez Paylor. Covers the NFL based in Kansas City, Missouri. covered the Chiefs for a long time. Let's hit the phone lines. David in Stockton, appreciate you, brother. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Thanks for taking my call. I heard you tearing up Andy Reid, and rightfully so on that. I agree with that, but I want to talk about, what about the NFL and their player safety? The Chiefs just played three games within like a 10-day span. And, yeah, Andy Reid, he was gimpy. You know, you don't put your quarterback in that, your franchise quarterback in that type of situation. But all this player safety thing, and you put, you know, the Chiefs, you know, on prime time, you know, Monday night, got them on a Sunday, and then back on prime time on Thursday night. I mean, is that a little bit of greed in the NFL? What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, dude, the Thursday night, it's tough because I don't want to be a hypocrite here on the air, so it won't be. I love Thursday night games because I get to watch Thursday night football, and I am up there in line with a lot of you, that stampede of complaints when the games are brutal. So I love that it was a Chiefs game. But for me, it's the reason why I was talking on the show I host here in the evenings on CBS Sports Radio. Maybe you just sit Patrick Mahomes. Maybe you don't panic. And you have to be able to evaluate, obviously, internally the injury. But you're right. The turnaround is tough for guys that are 100%. Patrick Mahomes couldn't plant his foot when he was throwing the football. He looked hobbled and gimpy in games. So I think there's some shared blame here. But Thursday night football games are part of the deal. They're always going to be part of the deal. And to me, it creates more need, a stronger emphasis on coaches, and in this case, Andy Reid, not getting caught up in the moment. I get it. The intensity and the culture of the NFL and football coaches in particular is win now, it's a war, it's a battle. You got to operate as a general, though. You got to see the field from a very, very different vantage point. Thursday night football games aren't going to go away. And you are right. 9 out of 10 NFL guys you talk to, when I talk to these guys, will tell you, certainly privately and a lot of times publicly, that they hate the games and it is terrible for player safety. The problem becomes, you know what they like and the NFL likes and Roger Goodell likes? The money. You know why? Because we like watching NFL games on Thursday nights. It's not going away. It's just going to create these scenarios where the Andy Reids of the world are going to be put in a tough spot. Andy Reid should be in the tough spot and protect his QB, not throw Mahomes into a tough spot and it turned out get him injured. Thursday night football games aren't going away. Bill Ryder filling in on the Jim Rome Show, 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to a guy with a great name, Bill in San Diego. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you. You're on the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, and good morning. Yeah, I've got a different take on this, but a dislocated kneecap is not that bad an injury, and it didn't look like his was dislocated that bad, and he was walking fine afterwards, but... I think I look at this from a positive standpoint, believe it or not. I think his knee's going to be fine after just a few weeks, and I was more concerned about his ankle. We'll give his time for his ankle to heal up, and I'll give a chance for the Chiefs' offense to get more of a rhythm, timing, and hopefully a running game. And hopefully Matt Moore can win at least one, hopefully two games out of three. And I think, and then the defense blew me away last night. I realize it's a bad offensive line for the Broncos, but I think the team possibly will rally around this whole thing, and the Chiefs will be better for the experience.
Bill, thanks for the call. Look, I hope you're right. I hope it is only 3 weeks. But where we stand right now, we'll get an update from Therese Paylor here in about 15 minutes on the Jim Rome Show. Where we stand now is 3 weeks minimum dislocated knee. But, and the but, it hangs heavy, I'm sure, in Kansas City, there's an MRI that is pending on whether or not there is ligament damage. And here's my other concern. Mahomes is already hurt. When guys are hurt and they play through it, they often hurt something else. They try to compensate. They try to keep away from whatever part of their body is ailing. And they get hurt in other ways. Whenever Mahomes comes back, and I hope it's only 3 weeks that he's gone, Bill, they're going to have to not panic. They're going to have to not rush him back. And there's a real chance they're going to lose a lot of those football games. That Packers team is good. That Vikings team is good as long as people convince Kirk Cousins the game doesn't matter and isn't significant. That Titans team, I think, is better. Certainly their defense is very formidable. I hope you're right. Again, I'm rooting for that team. I like the Chiefs. I like Andy Reid. You can't put your quarterback in that situation. Mike in Santa Fe, appreciate you listening to the show. You are on the Jim Rome Show.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing today?
Well, excellent. Hey, I just got one comment. I'm a Patriots fan, and I know I've got some booze on that. But my man Tom Brady has snuck the ball for 1 yard, 4 years, and made touchdowns and never came up gimpy one time from it. It's part of the game for the quarterback to get you that little short yardage, which he did get. So I don't blame Andy Reid for that. I actually commend him for it instead of, you know, because they did get the first down. And it was a freak accident. He got landed on. And, you know, again, Tom Brady, look it up if you want to. I can't remember. It's like 23 rushing touchdowns from 1 yard. And, you know, Andy Reid, I don't think that was anything to do with him. If I was him, I would call it again later on down the line. What do you think on it now?
Oh, I think you're dead wrong, but I really appreciate the perspective. And let me tell you why. A few things. One, Patrick Mahomes is a remarkable athlete beyond being a remarkable quarterback. Tom Brady is just a quarterback, and so he has mastered that old man 1 yard gain. But beyond that, and this goes to, again, I think you make my point for me a little inadvertently. Bill Belichick never panics. He just doesn't. He's not going to put Tom Brady on a football field if there's a chance Tom Brady shouldn't be out there. He's just going to believe in his football team and make it work. Tom Brady gets suspended for 4 games. They go whatever it was, 3-1 with 2 different quarterbacks. Tom Brady goes down to injury. Bill Belichick makes Matt Cassel look like Tom Brady for a season. If Tom Brady were on that ankle and had that level of injury where he could barely stand out there, Tom Brady is either not going to play, especially on a short turnaround, or Bill Belichick's going to maybe hold back on the 1 yard needed 4th-and-1 from the 5 in the second quarter against a bad football team. I have no issue with Patrick Mahomes quarterback sneaking when he's 100%. None. He wasn't 100%. He wasn't even close. 1-800-636-8686 is the number. And by the way, let me just add this before we get to Trez Paylor. Freak injuries actually do happen. You can minimize the ways and the moments that they happen. Take Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, and I know he's been a little inconsistent this year, has the potential to be an MVP. He would have been an MVP 2 years ago if he hadn't gotten hurt. He would have been. And he has been injured on and off again just because football's a rough game. You know, the legend of Nick Foles is obviously and largely connected to Wentz's inability to stay healthy. Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, if they're healthy, are going to define the NFL at the quarterback position and therefore the NFL for 5-10 years, the way that Brady and, you know, insert whoever you want, Manning, Breeze did, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. But Deshaun Watson, after an amazing beginning to his career a few years ago in Houston, got injured and missed a season. A reminder, as you gasp if you're a Texans fan, these things can happen at any time. Every time Deshaun Watson, it happened early in the season, scrambles for a touchdown and flings himself into the air trying to get to that pylon and there's guys trying to attack his body, I hold my breath. I love Lamar Jackson. I get it. First quarterback ever last week to throw for more than 200 passing yards and run for 150 rushing yards. That's a mistake. That is RG3 waiting to happen. I can go on and on. Don't put your quarterback in harm's way. Somebody, one of you that called in said franchise quarterback. It's true. Mahomes is the franchise quarterback. But more than that, he's just the franchise. That football team is not a winning football team, not even close to winning football team if he's not there.
Hey, we all love to refresh our snack drawers, right? But when is the last time you refreshed your sock drawer? If you can't remember, it's probably time for an upgrade. Bombas socks are made with comfort innovations like arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed. All socks speak for super comfortable. And they come in hundreds of colors and styles, making them perfect for men, women, and kids. I absolutely love my Bombas socks. I love the way they feel. I love the way they look. And I love the mission of the company. Bombas' new line of Merino wool socks are made from soft, warm, and naturally moisture-wicking Merino wool designed with all of Bombas' classic comfort features. From keeping cool and dry on your morning run to staying comfortable in your office's freezing air conditioning, Bombas' socks are ready to work as hard as you do. And for every pair of socks you buy, Bombas will donate a pair to somebody in need. This is what I love about their company. This is what I love about their work in the community. Bombas are what feet daydream about. Buy your Bombas at bombas.com/roam today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/roam and get 20% off. bombas.com/roam.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. It's time to ask the pros, were you the clones? get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros and submit your question. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. A bunch of you on the line. We'll get your calls. I promise. 1-800-636-8686. You can yell at me or yell at Andy Reid, but the good news is you get to yell at somebody. Joe Castellano yelling at me. Sports writer, are you kidding me with your take on the Mahomes injury? He tweets at me. Blaming Andy Reid on a quarterback sneak. If asking a quarterback to run a quarterback sneak is putting a player in harm's way, then you might as well not even play football. Yes. Yes. If he can't run a quarterback sneak without getting injured, maybe he shouldn't have been playing football on that Thursday night game, or you should adjust the game plan. Joe, I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree as Mahomes now sits out 3 weeks at a minimum as we wait news on an MRI. All right, one of my favorite people in the business, have him on the show that I host in the evenings all the time. I worked with him at the Kansas City Star. I am not just saying this. He is the best, for my money, NFL reporter in the country. He's now doing his thing for Yahoo Sports. Did it for the Kansas City Star for a long time. Very connected with the Chiefs is Therese Paylor. What is up, TB? What's up, man? How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well. All right, so you can defend Andy Reid's honor here. What did you make of the decision by Andy Reid and that staff to do a quarterback sneak with a Patrick Mahomes, who with the ankle was clearly hobbled entering the game?
Well, in general, like if a guy's playing, he's playing. So if you want to second guess a sneak, you should probably second guess the fact he's playing. There's levels to that. There's layers to that. Mahomes is incredibly competitive. He's a freaking warrior, man. And he wants to play, you know, put it that way. So, I mean, I get it. You know, anytime something like that happens and it backfires on you and that guy gets hurt that way, and it was a fluky kind of deal, you know, anytime that happens, you open yourself up to criticism. What I've called it, I don't know. I believe the quarterback sneak is the most efficient play in football.
Therese Paylor here on the show. Therese, where are we at with Mahomes? What do we know and what are we awaiting in terms of news from Kansas City on his status and his health?
Right. So I reported last night that early indications were fairly positive considering the circumstances. Sources told me there was an initial belief that he suffered a dislocated kneecap that does not appear to be fractured. Now, that's a big deal. Right, but the MRI is going to tell us the extent of the ligament damage, if there was any. And if depending on the extent of it, you know, he'll either have to have the surgery now, because it basically is just going to be too unstable to play, or, you know, there's going to be a decision to make here. Like, we saw Matthew Stafford come back from this in about 4 weeks. Trent Williams tried to come back, and he actually did play through off and on, but he eventually sat once the Redskins were out of the playoffs in 2017. So it's a decision to make. You know, you measure what this team can accomplish this year versus what they can accomplish over the next 10 years with Mahomes. And it's a decision that he, the team, and everyone who loves him is going to make together.
Therese Paylor here on the show on Twitter, at Therese Paylor. Therese, do you have any sense from sources in that organization the optimism level that the MRI that is going on today is going to come back with the news you just walked us through, that what we know is the extent and the limitations of his injury?
Yeah, no, there's definitely cautious optimism. There's that. That three-week timeline that you keep hearing, that didn't come out of nowhere. So, like, that's cautious optimism, but the MRI is just going to show if there was some damage there that you can't see. And people need to be ready for that because we don't know. But, you know, knowing the kid and knowing this team's hope this year, you know, if they get what they hope they get, I wouldn't be shocked to see him play. But I wrote a column on this on Yahoo Sports this morning. Like, even provided everything goes as well as it should, like, and he comes back to play this year, I think they should let him sit extra long just to be safe. Because if this team can't be competitive while he's out and win some games in a horrible division, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. So what's the point of rushing him back? Like, make his teammates show, like, hey, you know, this group in this current iteration is worth the risk. You know, and that means going 500 over the stretch. I wouldn't play him before December 1st, personally, but I don't make those decisions. I haven't seen the MRI, you know. I don't know. We'll see.
All right, Trez, let me take that a step further, and if you don't mind, just catastrophize the situation a little bit. Go to the worst-case scenario. Let's just say, for whatever reason, decision-making, injury beyond what we think it is, Patrick Mahomes does not play this year. Who wins that dumpster fire of a division?
I mean, it's still, I mean, it's up. And everyone except Denver. Everyone except Denver's got a shot. I mean, their pass game is abysmal. It's so sad watching Phillip Lindsay get wasted like that. But, you know, John Gruden's Oakland Raiders, okay? You know, Gruden's Oakland Raiders run the ball. They're good on first down. He knows what that team is. They're slow, but they're a good team. You know, John's got them playing pretty well, man. And then, you know, the Chargers have problems up front blocking for Phillip Rivers. I would never pick, even without Mahomes, I have a hard time picking the Chiefs losing the division because of Andy Reid, and he's just so competent, you know. But it'd be a close race for who would go 9-7 between them and the Raiders.
Trez Baylor here on the show, along with Charles Robinson, does a great Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Trez on Twitter, at Trez Baylor. TP, give us a sense of, I mean, you cover the entire NFL, but you're based in Kansas City. You covered that team for a long time with the Kansas City Star, where I also used to work in those happy, beautiful former salad days. What is Matt Moore? Like, going forward, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever it is, what did the Chiefs have in their backup quarterback?
He's pretty confident. You know, when I've watched him play before, like, he's not a world beater, but he's someone who can operate the offense. Didn't look great last night, but, you know, he's somebody that can operate the offense. And, you know, I think Andy Reid has a reputation for getting the most out of guys, so that's a pretty good sign. You know, I think they'll be competitive if he's the guy until Chad Henne comes back. You know, but obviously that changed the ceiling for this team.
What does that run game look like over the time that Mahomes is gone? Because it has not been wildly impressive with Mahomes behind center.
Yeah, I mean, they better step up. They better step up anyway. Like, you got to sit in there and you got to run the ball. You know, McCoy, Damian Williams, Darrell Williams, these are good players, man. So, like, let them run and let this offensive line kind of impose his will on defense. I think you got to play old school, you know, Alex Smith football. You know, you got motions pre-snap. Play action, run the football, everything's schemed up. It's going to fall on Andy. In the best-case scenario, you find a way to go 9-7 or something like that, and you sneak into the playoffs and probably lose in the first round. But that's still a hell of a year if Mahomes doesn't come back. But, you know, again, there's some cautious optimism. It might not come down to that. You know, we'll have to see.
Trez Baylor, on the show that I host in the evenings here on CBS Sports Radio, had Brady Papinga on the show yesterday, who won a Super Bowl with the Packers, former linebacker, absolute character. I don't know if you know Brady. And he made a pretty bold prediction before the game that he thought the Chiefs' defense was going to dominate Denver, because his claim, his sort of what he walked us through, was having played for Spags in the past, that defense is so complicated, Brady Papinga explained. It takes guys a while to kind of figure it out and for it to click. And he thought it would, and that Chiefs defense, in his opinion, would be great against Denver last night and would be great at some point consistently throughout the season, enough they'd be clearly the best team in the AFC. This is when we obviously thought Mahomes would be there the whole time. What is your notion on the idea that the Chiefs defense could be markedly better the second half of the season than they certainly had been entering last night?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That wouldn't surprise me. There's some good players on the defense, and teams get better as the year goes on. You know, that's not out of the ordinary. That happens. So I thought they've underperformed. But yesterday looked pretty good, and I'll be against one of the NFL's worst passing offenses. You know, they'll have to keep showing it. But nothing really surprises me in this league anymore. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up, if the defense ends up playing pretty decently the rest of the year.
Trez, Jalen Ramsey is now a member of the Los Angeles Rams here in beautiful Southern California. The price was obviously steep. What's your evaluation of both the Jags and the Rams' decision-making in that trade?
Well, I love it in a vacuum for the Rams. You know, anytime you can get a 25-year-old all-pro corner in a passing league, someone that can wipe out a number two receiver completely and allow you to double cover the other guy, that's special. It's only a few corners that can do that. My only concern this year is I think that they're in the midst of the Super Bowl hangover, and Jalen Ramsey doesn't solve one of their primary issues, which is their pass protection in their run game. So it can be a good trade in like a vacuum without being enough to push them back into the Super Bowl conversation. For Jacksonville, it's a decent haul for a really great player. I get that, good haul. But you got to hit on those picks, number one. And number two, like, this team was in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago. And now they're kind of like, they have to restructure themselves a little bit because they blew it on the quarterback. So, you know, that sucks because that defense with Ramsey was a lot of fun to watch. You know, Saxonville. And they came like a quarter away from winning, going to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So that's how quickly things can turn on you in this league when you make mistakes when it comes to evaluating your talent.
Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rome, talking to Trez Paylor from Yahoo Sports. All right, so if we scale back Super Bowl contention expectations for the Rams, let's just talk making the playoffs. That is a really tough division. The Niners obviously look really good the entirety of the season, but against the Rams. The Seahawks are playing great football. Russell Wilson looks like right now the best quarterback in football. What's the likelihood in your mind's eye that the Rams make the playoffs this year?
It's a tough division, so I like how the 49ers look right now. They look great, and Seahawks are really good too. I mean, it's going to be tough. They don't look together right now. Let's put it that way. Pass protection's all off. They're not getting the same push in the run game. Gurley's banged up. Ramsey will help the defense, but they lose Aqib Talib. I just like where Seattle and 49ers are at right now. Anything can happen, but I like where those two teams are at, and I think they're better situated to make the playoffs.
Who do you like on Sunday Night Football this upcoming weekend between the Eagles and the Cowboys?
It's going to be a good game. I tell you this, whoever loses that game is in a world of hurt because that's two big media markets, two very popular teams, and two fan bases that are like on the verge of freaking out right now. and then Doug Peterson with the non-guarantee guarantee. Like, if they lose, you know, he'll get ripped. And if the Cowboys lose, Garrett's already being destroyed. It's going to get even worse. So that one's truly a coin flip, my man. Like, that one's going to come down to who plays better that day. These are two teams with a lot of talent on paper that I really like before the year. But, you know, the Eagles are banged up defensively at corner. And, you know, the Cowboys, they've had a little issue. They had some issues in the run game and offense hasn't looked particularly fluid. Like, that Jets loss is horrendous. So that game is totally coming down to who plays better, like, on that day, because I see them being, like, really even and, like, who gets some breaks here with officiating and fumbles, that type of deal.
Trez, I know there's a long ways between now and the Dallas Cowboys not making the playoffs, but if they lose Sunday, if that's a harbinger that they're going to not make the postseason this year, what's the likelihood that Jason Garrett's out and let's say a Lincoln Riley is in?
It would have to be a pretty good disaster. Like, they would have to, like, pretty clearly miss the playoffs. Not, like, narrowly miss it, like, pretty clearly miss it for Jerry Jones to make that switch. He really likes Garrett. And, you know, as someone who understands the culture down there, you know, he gets it. And that's not that easy to find. We'll see. They have to miss it. Not like narrowly miss it for that to come down the pipe.
All right, Trez Paylor. Great stuff as always, buddy. We'll be reading you at Yahoo Sports, following you on Twitter at Trez Paylor, and of course listen to the podcast with you and Charles Robinson. Thanks for making time, buddy.
All right. Thanks, man.
See you, dude. Trez Paylor, TP on the show. And again, I'm just gonna, I don't know if we disagreed. I'll just respectfully and more aggressively say, you can't put Mahomes in harm's way. You can't do it. You can't do it. Right now, we're going to talk a little baseball with one of my favorite guys in the business, Rob Dibble, former big league closer, player, broadcaster now. Dibs, what's up? What's up, dude? Thanks for doing this.
Bill, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How's life on the East Coast?
Life is great. A little cold, a little rainy, but not bad.
Not great for, I know you're up there in Red Sox country, not great for Yankees fans. How significant, let me ask it this way. You got Verlander, you got Cole if you get there. What are the odds you give this Yankees team to even make this a series and get to seven?
Slim to none, and Slim just left the building. Yeah, it would take a monumental collapse at this point. Yankees have to win the next three games to you know, get to the World Series against arguably one of the best teams, best pitching staffs, best coach teams in Major League Baseball. You know, I can't even say that about the Nationals. The Nationals have great pitching. They've been great in the postseason, but they were 19-31 at one point and had to go on an unbelievable tear just to make it to the postseason. But Astros are a class team. They have a lot of guys, a lot of weapons. And look at, you know, from the perspective that guys like Bregman not having a great postseason. Correa has not had a great postseason statistically, but a couple of huge home runs. You know, some of the guys that are having nice postseasons, Altuve and Brantley, really haven't done a lot of damage, like with runners in scoring position. So that's what's killed the Yankees, is they have, you know, they're playing for the three-run home run, and that's playing into the hands of the Astros. The Astros are actually kind of beating them at their own game. But last night was just, you know, not getting to Greinke early in that game. That was the decider for me. This guy walks in a run. It looked like he was really, like, out of sorts. And that's when you got to knock him out of the game. And so let him kind of get off the ropes, get his stuff together, go almost five innings, and then get into the Astros bullpen. I think the Yankees were fortunate to get three runs. They should have got 10, but they just, you know, Encarnacion, Stanton not playing, you know, a lot of the other guys falling flat right now. That doesn't bode well for them moving on to the World Series.
Rob Dibble here on the show. You're right. I mean, the Yankees had Greinke, and Greinke traditionally not very successful in the postseason. Earned run average in the high fours. I think it's 4.60 entering, 4.65 entering the game yesterday, and we saw him wobbly in that first. Does that for you, Rob? Does that hint to any kind of an issue with Greinke in the next series, assuming they get there against the Nationals?
No, because I don't think that he'll be as frazzled. New York is doing a lot to guys. Even the best, even Hall of Famers, some guys didn't even want to pitch there. Greg Maddux didn't want to pitch there. He took less money to go to Atlanta. So, you know, the fans are raucous. They're you know, really mean-spirited. But they're Yankee fans, and I grew up with them. They are what they are, and they're great for the home team and terrible for the away team. But there's guys like Altuve that deal with it differently, or Springer, who grew up in Connecticut. You know, they use it to their advantage. I mean, I hated pitching in San Francisco, but I used it to my advantage, and I was very successful there because the fans were just throwing beers on you, spitting on you, whatever. You can't let that affect you. So for him to go to Washington, is not, I don't think it's going to be that bad. And if he gets to pitch at home for the Astros, he's very comfortable there. I think he was like 7-1. When he came over from the Diamondbacks. So he's definitely still one of the top pitchers, but you don't even need him. I think if you have to face Cole and Verlander each twice in a seven-game series, I give them an advantage in three out of four of those games, and so you just need Greinke to come up with one decent outing for five innings, and I think that they can win the World Series.
Rob Dibble here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Rutter filling in. Rob, did you just say you got spit on when you were...
All the time. All the time, beer... things chucked at me. One of my suspensions was actually a fight I kind of got into, and you know how good I am with the military and the police. I love them. But one of the cops there, dude, threw a you know, like half-drunk beer, hit me right in the chest. And I wasn't worried about me. I was more worried about, you know, what if that hit me in the face or hit one of my teammates in the face. And he basically told me to, you know, shut the F up and sit down. And so I got into the beef with this cop in Candlestick, and they fined me $1,000. I ended up winning the appeal because when I said, listen, you know what, I've had a lot of things done to me. You know, I played in Puerto Rico three different times and had stuff thrown at me, hit me. I've been hit with batteries. I've been hit with candy, all kinds of stuff. That was the most blatant in front of a police officer. And I said, that's unacceptable. And they agreed with me, and they just said, you know, next time you're out there, you have more security. And I did. So, oh, yeah. I've got good stories, man. The last game that was supposed to ever be played at Candlestick,
yeah.
I had a SWAT team protecting me because they felt that something bad was going to go wrong. I ended up getting the save. Not one person came on the field. And that was it. They didn't move to Tampa. They built another stadium in San Francisco. And the fans who, you know, they got grumpy probably more because of me than anybody else. But that was just something you have to deal with, Bill. That's life in the big leagues.
Rob Dibble, I love these stories, Dibs. Rob Dibble here on the show. All right, so it's hard to play that Yankees team. It's hard to play them on the road. Justin Verlander, his renaissance, whatever they're doing down there with that pitching staff in Houston, with these guys coming in and going to other levels, is remarkable. Do you like Verlander's odds to shut this thing down and make it a rout?
No, because the Nationals, and what's in front of them, he can't think about that. He's got to think about, I got to put the Yankees away. And the Yankees, if the bats get hot, they can make your life miserable. You know, the thing that they're not doing, and the strikeouts are adding up, 11 in the first game, 12 in the second game, they were better in the third game. You know, you've got to cut down on the strikeouts in certain situations. You got to play a little bit smaller ball. And you've got to get to Verlander tonight to go to Houston for another chance at two more games there. So for the Yankees, it's all men on deck. Verlander can't be thinking past this. And he's got to do the job, at least get six innings into the game. That's where Cole and Verlander are so valuable. And if you look at Strasburg and Scherzer and Corbin and those guys, going six or seven innings in today's game with eight guys in the bullpen really increases your odds. And that's been the mystery to me, that how the game has changed to bringing a fifth or sixth guy out of the bullpen instead of leaving Verlander or Cole or Corbin or Scherzer or Strasburg, leave them out there for seven innings. They're the better pitchers. So I think that some of those teams are going back to that, and it's been successful at this point. So if Astros are going to win tonight, Verlander goes six or seven.
Dibs, if you go back to May 25th, when the Nationals were already 10 games under 500, MLB stats gave them a 0.1% chance to make the playoffs. On June 1st, they had as many losses as a Detroit Tigers team that would go on to lose 114 games. And then we all know they got on this crazy hot streak, and they've been on that hot streak the entirety of their time since in the regular season. They win that play-in series wildcard game. They beat the Dodgers in dramatic fashion, right? They're on fire. Do you think the layoff, right, this first extended break from that remarkable run is going to impact them negatively, whoever they face in the World Series, whenever that series rolls around?
Not particularly the Nationals. They're a family, and they bonded. You know, when I don't like to use this term, but kind of like jilted lover, when Harper went to the Phillies, it probably took a while for them to recover and kind of have their own identity. And, you know, I've talked about Carpenter, who does the play-by-play for them. They were able to, guys like Rendon and Parra and some of the guys that they brought in, were able to get Strasburg to come out of his shell. You see how they hug him all the time and all that kind of stuff. You know, he's not a touchy-feely guy. He kind of reminds me of Adrian Beltre. You know, but if you can get your team to become a family, and I played with Dave Martinez for a few years, he's an awesome guy. He's a family guy. He's one of the most jovial guys around. He was the bench coach for Joe Maddon for like 8 to 10 years. So he learned a lot from Joe Maddon, and then he adds his own touch, and they become a family, and they've been unstoppable. So I don't think the layoff is going to bother them. I think it actually gets them a little healthier. Robles gets a couple more days to get healthy. But, you know, they were able to spend money on Corbin, spend money on Sanchez, and then become their own family without Bryce Harper. And that's the magic that you're seeing right now, that they're a full team from top to bottom, and a lot of guys that have been journeymen. And then you throw in Ryan Zimmerman, who was the first ever player drafted by the Nationals, and that's a really tough combo for anybody to come up against.
All right, Dibs, I'm glad you brought up Joe Maddon. Rob Dibble here on the Jim Rome Show, Bill Ryder filling in, because another MLB postseason and another postseason where I think the best ball player I've seen with my eyes in my lifetime, Mike Trout, is, I don't know what he's doing, fishing right now, golfing, whatever Mike Trout does in the offseason. What's your confidence level that Maddon being the guy in Anaheim will result in Mike Trout playing some significant and meaningful playoff baseball games down the line?
It would be great for baseball if he did, and it's a great point. Joe Maddon can only do as much as his front office and scouting department can give him, and you need help. You need pitching help. The death of Tyler Skaggs didn't help. it sent that team, down some really bad rabbit holes for the rest of the season. But they've got to pick each other up next year. They've got to dust themselves off and, execute, do your job. A lot of these teams like Tampa Bay Rays that have the lowest payroll, the Oakland A's that have the second lowest payroll, they seem to manage with less. And that's because you have to become a team and you have to rely on each other that, that guy's going to do his job. That guy down there is going to do his job. At the end of the game, we're going to get enough relievers in to do their job. But you need some scouting and development. And when my buddy Hal Morris was in charge of the scouting department, they had gutted the entire minor league system, and this is about 5 years ago, to get good back when they first got Albert, and they had Hamilton, and they had a bunch of those guys. And so you have to rebuild every year. You have to be ready to go up against the Astros 19 times a year. But you need the firepower. You need the rotation. You need a little bit more depth on the bench, and that's difficult. In today's game, Bill, having 7-8 guys in the bullpen takes 3 guys out of your bench and out of that rotation and out of, being able to have a better fifth outfielder, better, not having a great fourth or fifth infielder. You need a guy that's a utility guy. So the different ways that Joe Maddon's going to have to manage this is the fact that, okay, I have to do more with less because you're not going to have the same firepower you had with the Cubs. And now you're going to have to deal with the American League West, which is no fun. But I think he's definitely up to the task. I think he needs help in the front office. If they let him try and get the right pieces, I think that he can go all the way with it. But you have to let him kind of buy the groceries and cook with those groceries. But if you just say, hey, go out there and cook with what we give you, it's going to be rough in Anaheim.
Rob Dibble, I'm sorry you got spit on, but I'm going to say this to you because I've heard so many good stories from you. You got to write a book. I need a book that has the full you versus the Iowa Hawkeyes team at the bar in Iowa City sometime. America needs to know that story. Tibbs, thanks for being on, buddy.
All right. Take it easy, Bill. Anytime.
Yeah, dude. Rob Dibble on the show. Rob Dibble, when I was a kid.
Have you ever wondered where your family comes from? I know the answer to that. Of course you have. We all have. Well, you can discover more about your family and learn about your story by combining the Ancestry DNA test with billions of historical family records. This process is amazing. You see, Ancestry DNA gives you so much more than just the places you're from. Ancestry connects you to the places in the world where your story started, and they're able to do so by using precise geographic detail and clear-cut historical insights. You can even trace your ancestors' journeys over time, following how and why your family moved from place to place. In other words, you could find out things that you probably never thought you'd find out. And to amplify your results, you can start a free trial on Ancestry and build a tree so your ancestors become more than just a name. They go that deep. It's that detail-oriented. Ancestry's unique features and record collections can give you a more complete picture of people from your past. Like the events that shaped those people, how they made a living, how long they attended school. You would not believe the information that gets uncovered, and it's so easy to get started. All you have to do is go to Ancestry.com/podcast, and you could save 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. Once again, go to Ancestry.com/podcast for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. Ancestry.com/podcast. It's an amazing experience. Check that out.
Good night.